March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and this is a focus on cancer disparities from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. My name is Michael Van Tool. I've got in the studio Lauren Wagner. She's a patient and community outreach manager for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great, absolutely. And then we've also got a couple other people here in the studio with me. Shoma Paul, manager of strategic planning and development at Karmanos Cancer Institute. Hello, Shoma.
Good morning.
And Brittany Dow, Director of Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement from the Karmanos Cancer Institute also. Good morning.
Good morning.
great. Well, you know, Lauren Wagner, let's start with you from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. As we said, this is March. March is the Myeloma Awareness Month. You know, tell us from at the start, what is myeloma?
Yeah, so myeloma is a blood cancer, and blood cancers are cancers that affect the production and function of your blood cells. Most start in the bone marrow. Myeloma is a type of a blood cancer, and it specifically affects white blood cells called your plasma cells. So it's also called multiple myeloma, so if you hear it referred to that, it's the same thing. It is not melanoma. Melanoma is a cancer of the skin, but they sound very similar. So this is a unique blood cancer because it manifests in the bone marrow of those who it affects and can lead to really brittle, weak bones. Patients will have bone pain and even sometimes they'll break bones when they're diagnosed. And that's what leads them to the hospital to get blood work done. And that's how they learn of their diagnosis. Multiple myeloma has no cure currently.
Mm.
There's treatments for it, lots on the market for patients to utilize to help put it into remission, but patients who are diagnosed with myeloma will be living with the disease, you know, really for the foreseeable future when they're diagnosed. And patients diagnosed with myeloma, they'll experience a roller coaster of treatment from, remission to first-line treatment to a stem cell transplant and back again through the cycle. It's a really grueling blood cancer to get.
Lauren, it seems like it's technical as to what it's about and things like that. How do you know you have it? Because, you know, you said you can feel it. You have bone pain. But how do you know that you have it?
Yeah, so you have to be diagnosed by a doctor to ensure that you know that you have it. But there are certain signs and symptoms that doctors are looking out for. They use this term CREB to really help, and that each one stands for things like calcium elevation, renal failure, anemia, and then bone pain or fatigue. And so if you have these signs and symptoms, it is very likely that you have myeloma. You have to get a blood test done in order to ensure and really diagnose the myeloma. So you have to work closely with a hematologist to do so.
When we first met, I told you I did not know too much about the blood cancers. So why is it important for us to know more about things like myeloma?
Yeah. So myeloma specifically, we're raising awareness this month because it affects African Americans at twice the rate at white Americans, twice the rate. So these patients are far less likely to benefit from the latest advancements in treatment that we have. And more specifically, we really see this disease in men, older men, more so than women. The average age of diagnosis is about 65 for all patients, but actually for the African American population, it's younger. So men and women alike who are diagnosed with multiple myeloma get diagnosed even younger, some as young as 40, 50, you know. So, and with this being a chronic disease, really essentially is what it is, you're living with that for years and years and years. And so mm-hmm. that the financial ramifications of that, the emotional toll that takes, it's really important that we raise awareness and catch it early.
Well, Brittany Dow is here. She's the Director of Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement with the Karmanos Cancer Institute. Brittany, what is cancer disparity?
Yeah, so cancer disparities or cancer health disparities are adverse differences between certain population groups and cancer measures. And this can be something such as incidence, which stands for new cancer cases, prevalence, all existing cases, and mortality, cancer deaths. These population groups may be characterized by race, ethnicity, disability, sexual identity, sexual orientation, geographic location, and other characteristics. And cancer disparities can also be seen when outcomes are improving in overall in certain areas, but improvements are not seen in some groups relative to others.
So what does this mean for the state of Michigan? What does it mean for Michigan?
Yeah, so I can't speak for all of Michigan. I can speak for Carmanis' catchment area, which is 46 out of the 83 counties in Michigan, serving approximately 6.7 million residents. But in terms of disparities, incidence, which is once again new cancer cases, of prostate, liver, uterine cancer, as well as multiple myeloma, is higher among African Americans in the catchment area versus white. And then additionally, the incidence of cancer of the lung, colon and rectum, kidney, and pancreas is higher among African Americans in the catchment area compared to both whites in the catchment area and African Americans nationwide.
You have a long title, Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement. So what do you do there? What do you do at Carmanos?
Yes. So my office was established in 2017, and OCHEEC is the acronym. That's what Office of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement stands for. But OCHEEC works to monitor the cancer burden in Carmanos' 46 county catchment area. Like I said before, that's approximately 6.7 million residents in Michigan. And we engage our diverse populations along with scientists from Carmanos and strategies to reduce the cancer burden and improve cancer outcomes across all populations. We're led by Dr. Haley S. Thompson, who is a professor in the Department of Oncology at Wayne State University School of Medicine, as well as the Associate Center Director for Community Outreach and Engagement at Carmanos.
Now, this is these disparities here in Michigan, what can we do to alleviate some of that? How can we address those disparities?
Yeah, so our office is doing research as well as programming to help alleviate some of those disparities. The first one I want to talk about is Michigan Cancer Health Link, and this is a community academic partnership created to increase research capacity in diverse communities. So our model of community engagement within HealthLink is based on a network of Cancer Action Councils, or CACs, as we like to call them, which are made up of cancer survivors, caregivers, and advocates who develop research priorities and questions relevant to their communities and then translate those priorities and questions into research studies as well as outreach projects. So our office currently has 10 Cancer Action Councils across the catchment area with approximately 130 members. So we're growing, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And we also recently just started a Genomic Research Action Council, or GRAC, which is working with members of the Metropolitan Detroit Faith community to address research priorities and questions related to genomic research specifically. So that's an area we're really excited to grow and learn more about. And I'll turn it over to Shoma, who has more programs.
Yes. So Shoma Paul is here. She's the Manager of Strategic Planning and Development at Carmanos Cancer Institute. Shoma, again, welcome to the program. What can you add? What research is happening now in our community that focuses on these cancer disparities?
Well, in terms of just going off of what Brittany said with the Cancer Action Councils, and this all leads to research, those are the grassroots initiatives with the community. So we also have a grass tops initiative called the Research Advocacy Consortium, and we're also engaging diverse populations and connecting them to the science. So it's a broad network of close to 50 community-based organizations, and they're as diverse as the populations that they serve. So we have faith-based organizations, social and human services, federally qualified health care clinics, as well as health departments who are all part of this, as well as Lauren from Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, American Cancer Society, GILDAS. There's just a wide, rich network of organizations. And what we're charged to do is disseminate information on cancer control information, so education around cancer prevention, screening, diagnosis. We see our organizations as a conduit because they are trusted resources in the community. They have a lot of credibility, and so we're able to funnel the information that we would like to impart as a cancer institute to the community members who need it. We also have a program called Community Conversations in Cancer, where we work with our community partners, our CAC members, as well as our Cancer Action Council members, as well as some of our partners, to moderate sessions with our cancer scientists, our oncologists, mm-hmm. to help translate the data and the research that's going on at Karmanos and deliver it to the lay population to a level where the public can understand and it's meaningful to them. So they're aware of what's going on as well. And then finally, we also help, we see our partners as a way to help increase participation in clinical trials, which we'll talk about shortly, and also engage in community academic partnerships, as Brittany had also mentioned. So we see the organizations as ambassadors of the community. So they're amplifying the voice of the community and letting us know what are the needs, like what's really affecting, what's keeping people from getting the proper treatment. It could be a lot of social determinants of care, like transportation issues, lack of access to health care. Those are the things that they are helping to highlight for us.
You know, those clinical trials, one of the questions I had was, you know, any new research and things like that being done. How can you participate in one of those trials, clinical trials?
You can participate by going to our website, which is karmanos.org/karmanos/office-of-community.
You remember all that? Oh my goodness. Wow.
Write it down here.
Yeah. Okay. And they can, or they can just,
or clinicaltrials.gov.
Clinicaltrials.gov.
That's an easier one. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot. And so what are some things done specifically for, let's say, the city of Detroit?
Yeah. And that's a great question. We're working on HPV, which is human papillomavirus. So there's a research study that's coming out of our office called Project ACE. ACE stands for Advocates for Community Education. It's funded through the National Cancer Institute, and it focuses on increasing HPV vaccination among children and adolescents as part of cancer prevention. So HPV, for those of us who may not know, is a primary cause of cervical cancer, which black women are more than 1.5 times as likely to die from cervical cancer than white women. Not only are they diagnosed at a higher rate, but they also die at a higher rate because they're being diagnosed
later.
And
are they younger? Are they susceptible to it younger too? Is there an age factor in this?
Age isn't necessarily a factor, but like Shoma was just saying, black women tend to be diagnosed later because maybe not adherence to screening as much. So because they're catching the cancer later, it's usually at a later stage of cancer. So worse health outcomes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it all ties back. These same issues that we're seeing with all of these cancers, the myeloma, the cervical cancers, all of these, it's for many of the same reasons, those barriers to care. And that's the real power in the work that they do, is highlighting what those barriers are and working to find ways around them. Yes.
And I'm glad that now we see how important this focus is this month. There's just a lack of information. And I really appreciate what your organizations are doing now to get the word out, because these are very detrimental. So how can we learn more about cancers like myeloma, Lauren?
So specifically for blood cancers, LLS, we are here to help. We hope that no one feels like they're alone when they're diagnosed. You can learn more about myeloma or other blood cancers on our website, lls.org, or I would really encourage anyone out there who might know someone or might be going through this themselves to give us a call. We have an information resource center available at 1-800-955-4572, where you can actually talk to master's level social workers, nurse navigators, who are simply there to answer your questions and help you get the access to the resources that they need. They're also online, and you can chat them if you don't feel like talking on the phone with them. You can email or chat them as well. And that is the absolute best way to get the right information that you need and really allow us to help you advocate and advocate on your behalf for what education and support resources you might need.
For those of you who are just tuning in now, this is March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and this program is a focus on cancer disparities in our community. It's from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I'm here with Shoma Paul, Manager of Strategic Planning and Development at Carmanos Cancer Institute. Also, Brittany Dow, Director of Cancer Health Equity and Community Engagement at Carmanos, and Lauren Wagner, Patient and Community Outreach Manager for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Lauren, I went, like most people, I went to the website to do my research and everything, and found out that your society, you know, provides a lot of support services, because when you go through something like this, when you get the word, it's like a punch in the gut when you first hear it, and you're trying to look for some type of support from, you know, and you know, a lot of people don't even want to tell anybody about what they're going through, you know? So what are some of the services that you provide at LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society?
Yeah, you are spot on. When you hear that you have a cancer, no matter the cancer, it is
devastating news to handle. Yes.
Yeah, and especially when you're diagnosed with a blood cancer, they're a little more rare. So we don't always know someone who might have had a blood cancer,
right.
Not as prevalent in the community as, say, a breast cancer or something. Like, someone probably knows someone who's had a breast cancer. But for blood cancers, it can be really scary, too, because it's not as easily well known, too, as how the heck did I get a blood cancer?
Right.
It's not genetic, so where did it come from? You know, these kinds of things.
Matter of fact, that's where does it come from?
That's the question.
Yes.
That is the multi-million, billion-dollar question right there, and what we at LLS hope to be able to figure out someday. Right now, we might have some risk factors, you know, things like the older you get, the more susceptible you are to blood cancers, but really, there's no known cause for any of these blood cancers, and no real way to pinpoint. It's not like lung cancer where you can say smoking causes this.
Right.
We don't have that in the blood cancer world, so it's a little bit of a mystery and something that we hope to be able to explore one day.
So your organization also acts as a support and a voice for patients.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in your original question was what supports do we have? And lots. We have so much. So obviously education, what we're doing here today, is a big part of our mission. And we offer lots of online webcasts, webinars, local education, as well as booklets, pamphlets, all for free. You can download or have them mailed to your house. Whatever you need, we will help you find that information. We have lots of support programs. So one of my favorites, and actually had a listener of yours reach out and utilize this resource actually last week because they heard our ad. And it is called our First Connection Program. And this is a wonderful way to get connected to someone who's been through it. So we have trained peer volunteers who are caregivers and survivors. And what they do is they call up whoever it is that needs some support, needs some help. Maybe they were just diagnosed. Maybe they're going through a new type of treatment and want to know what to expect. They can call us. We'll match them with a peer volunteer that has walked that path and just be there as a guiding support and a friend. And then we also have support groups, online support, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful programs. And the last piece that we have, which is really important when it comes to blood cancers because they are expensive, is financial support. So we have a number of financial support programs, including things like copay, which for myeloma patients, that's up to $13,000 that they can get back from medical bills. And I would implore your listeners, if you have been diagnosed with a blood cancer or someone else you know has been diagnosed with a blood cancer, we have a program that is $100, no questions asked, just whether you've been diagnosed with a blood cancer or not. There is no financial requirement or anything like that. We'll give you $100. So if you have a blood cancer and you haven't claimed your $100, please go do it. And then you can also learn about all the other wonderful programs that we have.
Well, great. You know, as I said earlier, I wasn't familiar, and it's a learning experience for me just being here with this interview. We talked about myeloma. and of course leukemia and lymphoma. What are some of the other blood cancers?
Yeah. So leukemia and lymphoma are the two other major ones that we really focus on. Leukemia and lymphoma, it really just depends on what cell. Like I said, blood cancer is a little more complicated because you can't just point on the body and say, hey, this is where this cancer comes from. It comes from certain parts of our blood cells, and there's all kinds of different ways that our cells split and mature, and usually it's some little function in the natural process that goes off and can cause either something like an acute leukemia or a chronic leukemia, which is a little more slow growing, or lymphomas. A lot of people know non-Hodgkin lymphoma or Hodgkin lymphoma. And so those are some other cancers that if you're experiencing, want to know more about, need some support with, we are here for it. It's in the name.
Yes. Now, you said they're not cures for these blood cancers?
For myeloma, there is not.
Okay.
For some of our other cancers, so for example, I'm a Hodgkin lymphoma survivor myself.
Oh, and we did not mention Hodgkin's. What is Hodgkin's disease?
Yeah, it's a type of lymphoma. It manifests in the lymph nodes, and it is a very highly cure rate for Hodgkin lymphoma.
Oh, there is.
So upwards of 90% cure rate, mm-hmm. especially for young adults. And so there are cures for some of them. You can be put into remission for many of these. But then we also have a number of other blood cancers like myeloma, like chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
And is that
leukemia.
How you got connected with the society through Hodgkin's disease?
It is,
and
exactly.
How have you managed that?
Yeah, so I received that $100 that I was just talking about.
Right.
Used that to pay for my wig.
That's good.
Because wigs are not cheap.
Okay.
And I also utilized the First Connection program. So I spoke with another young girl. I was 18 at the time. So mm-hmm. I spoke with another young girl who had gone through it and just got to like ask her questions, and I thought I was the only 18-year-old in the world suffering a cancer diagnosis, but I wasn't. And
you learned a lot too.
Yeah, and so LLS has always had a special place in my heart, and now I've been working here about 3 years, and it's been fantastic.
What can we do? What are some simple things we can do to avoid getting these cancers? Just simple day-to-day things.
Go to your doctor. Get your annual physical.
Okay.
It's
that simple.
I mean, taking care of yourself, things like obesity and all of that, those can contribute to a number of cancers. So not just blood cancers, but certainly a number of cancers. So taking care of yourself, but going to the doctor, getting your annual physical,
I think that's something we got to say now. You know, you don't have to be the tough guy. You know, we know you're tough, but go to see a doctor. Go ahead. It's okay. You know, and I think that we have to let men my age, you know, I'm 60, African-American, you know, I got that tough guy thing too. You know, I can handle this, but we got to get over that and go and find out, because it's something so simple, and just by not going, it can cause some huge problems later. All you have to do is get up and go.
Yes.
And I'm glad we got a chance to stop and say that. So just go, if you're listening, go ahead to the doctor and get checked out. This is a good time to do it. Shoma, you wanted to jump in and say something.
Can I make a plug for something I was talking about before with HPV? Is that, as I mentioned, cervical cancer is highly preventable and treatable if screened ahead of time. So if the women can get their pap smears, that's a great thing. But also there's this vaccine, and that's what we're trying to push, the HPV vaccine, because not only does HPV cause cervical cancer, but 5 other types of cancer. So by having this vaccine at a young age for adolescents, it's all 99% effective. It can wipe out like oral cancer that's related to HPV. Mm-hmm. So this vaccination is cancer prevention. So why wouldn't you do it if you could prevent 5 types? So we're working with our community partners, and they're informing us. They're out there in the Detroit community, and they're helping us with the content. They're helping us engage African-American parents, and we created a video that's culturally tailored and features parents of African American, and then have testimonies of people who have been impacted by cancer, so that we can encourage our community to get the vaccine. And we talk about myths: where do you get the vaccine, how do you access it. And we also have some research around clinical trials as well, that we're trying to get more representation of the African American community, so that therapies will be developed or could be developed that you know, one size does not fit all. So there's different side effects, there's different treatment outcomes, but if everyone looks alike, then we're not doing our justice.
You got to reach everybody.
We have to reach, and with African Americans being about 14% of the population, and clinical trial representation is about 5 to 7%.
Wow.
There's that disparity again.
Yes.
We don't know what works.
That's what we're talking about now. You know, with 5 minutes left to go, Brittany, I just wanted to make sure if you had anything that you wanted to add to while we've been here.
I really I appreciate what you were talking about with the tough guy mentality,
uh-huh.
especially when it comes to Black men
yes.
and getting their care. We actually have a Black Men's Cancer Action Council,
mm-hmm.
and that's what that group essentially just talked about the whole time when they were developing their research priorities and questions, just the importance of letting go of that tough guy image and
right.
making sure like you're getting your screenings for colon cancer in particular. I believe it's 45 is the screening. 45 is the age that you should start screening.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the men talked about, you know, not meeting that goal or becoming involved with this work, really wanting to get screened and telling their friends and family to also get screened. So that's really, I think, that's really the highlight of our work, and the importance of our work is just building capacity and building knowledge and yeah, building capacity and knowledge is so important to our office.
Yes, yes. And sometimes, you know, when as you're getting older, 50, 60 years old, it doesn't seem like anything is mm-hmm. wrong. Everything seems to be okay. And that can be very deceptive because things can creep up on you. You don't even feel it until it's
exactly.
too late. So, you know, you really have to take action with it. Brittany, thanks. Shoma, did you want to add anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think we covered it all between
yep.
Brittany and myself. Thank
well,
you.
Lauren, what can our listeners do if they know someone who has blood cancer, if they believe that something is wrong, if they're having some strange aches, severe pain and things like that? What can we do?
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
Call us. Call LLS. It's as simple as that. 1-800-955-4572 is our number. You can also call 1-800-844-LINK. That's another number that you can call. So this whole initiative today and why we're talking is a program of Myeloma Link, which is focused on raising awareness of myeloma here in Detroit. So something else that your listeners can do is to get involved by volunteering as well. So we have...
Oh, yes, we did not mention that.
Yes.
Volunteering.
Yes. There
so
are
this,
opportunities.
Yes.
Obviously, you've heard they've got their Cancer Action Councils, which are fantastic there at Kramanos. I am on one of them. It is awesome experience to see what research is really like. But we also have a program here at LLS called our Community Ambassadors. And so we are currently open and accepting nominations for ambassadors, people who hear this message today and are uplifted by it and want to make sure that people in their community are also hearing this message and just really raising awareness of myeloma and blood cancers in general. And so if that is some of your listeners feel called to that, I encourage them to give me a call or shoot me an email directly.
Well, I can tell you, I'm one person that learned from this interview already. So write my name down as one of those people that learned something about the blood cancers today and that will, you know, react to this in a positive way and let people know to go ahead and get tested and, you know, find out more about these cancers. This is March is Myeloma Awareness Month. We're here with a focus on cancer disparities in our community with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Lauren Wagner, thanks for letting me know about this and allow me to be a part of this. This is a series that we're doing, but you are the patient and community outreach manager for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thank you so much
Thank you for putting
this together.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate your time and your listeners' time, and I really want to say thank you to Shoma and Brittany for joining me, not only today, but all the partnership that you guys do. They do amazing work, and so I'm just thankful to have them
yes,
with us.
Yes, Shoma Paul from Kramanos Cancer Institute, and also Brittany Dow from Kramanos Cancer Institute. Thank you so much. This has been great, and I hope that this makes a difference in the lives of Metro Detroiters. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Absolutely.